Amen. Let's turn our Bibles tonight to the book of Zechariah. Book of Zechariah, chapter number 4. I was thinking this afternoon about the service this morning, and I was pondering on Brother Cooper's testimony, how he said that he could take us to the curve where God, the Holy Ghost, spoke to him and told him that it was his night. And I began to think about our service of to one triune God that's defined in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit executes God the Son's plan here on earth. And even though the book of Zechariah, 2,500 years past, the same Spirit that was leading Zechariah, that was leading Zubril, is leading you and I today. And I'd like to look tonight just on a simple thought and a quick Bible study on the Spirit of God in Zechariah's life. We find God the Holy Ghost in Zechariah's days leading him, guiding him, encouraging him, just as he does you and I. Book of Zechariah, chapter number 4. Verse number 6, this will be our text verse. We'll read all 14 verses here in just a moment. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. The Bible says, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zubril, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." It's clear to see in this text that the Spirit of God is the emphasis here in chapter number 4. Israel is facing difficult challenge. They were facing some obstacles in their lives, some great difficulties, some problems. Jeshua, the high priest, Zubril, the governor, Zechariah, the man of God, the preacher, are facing some things in their lives that they can't handle, that the people, the children of God, can't grasp. They just came from Babylon, 70 years of captivity. They've come to a nation. They've come to Jerusalem. There's no temple. There's no walls. There's no gates. The enemies have surrounded them. They're facing difficult challenges. And the Spirit of God tells Zechariah that it's not going to be by power. It's not going to be by might, but it's going to be by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The word might in that text verse means army. It means great men of valor. The word power means a strength or great force or ability. And God's telling Zechariah there's no army, there's no forces of the world, there's no a force of ability of the United States of America or the greatest nation ever known that can accomplish the things that God the Holy Spirit can accomplish. There's one here, though, that exists. There's one that we see in the text that can accomplish. He says, but by my spirit. The word spirit in our text, it means breath. It means to breathe or wind. What he's saying here, the world's armies, the world's might, what they can't do, the breath of God, the spirit of God can accomplish. In this chapter, we see Zechariah is teaching us that the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Ghost, is the source of the power for him, and it's the source of power for you and I today. We find everything in these verses is centered. They're focused. They're centric on the Spirit of God. Everything that happens here in these verses, everything that's said, everything that's of importance is centered, attributed by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep." Zechariah, we see right off the bat, he's waked. He's awakened by this angel, by this one that comes and wakes him. We see that he's not physically sleeping. He's not lying down in bed with the lights turned off in deep sleep. He's dreaming. But the Bible says he waked as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. The word wake means to be stirred. It's to be roused. It's to be shaken to what he's saying here, that Zechariah, as godly man as he was, as a good a preacher and a priest he was, as close to God he was, he still needed to be stirred by the Holy Ghost. He still needed to be wakened by God. He still needed to be shooken so he can receive this vision that God wants to give. And let me say tonight, there's no greater time than ever before than the people of God, you and I, Fletcher First Baptist Church, needs to be stirred by the Holy Ghost of God. We find that this spirit awakens, it shakes, it stirs Zechariah. It brings to him to be sensitive to the Word of God. He's illuminating his desire for Zechariah's life. And my, how we need that. There's no army can do that. There's no power can do that. There's no authority. There's no great person or preacher that can do that. Only attributed and to attune us to God the Holy Ghost. Only the Holy Ghost can accomplish such a task as Zechariah is telling us here. May God wake us. May he stir us. May he rouse us to his work. Romans 13 verse 11, listen, it says, "And that, knowing the time, that now is high time that we awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed." It's a high time that we need to be stirred. And I pray, that's my prayer for my life, my family's life, that God would stir us. He would waken. He would rouse us. The Spirit of God, he's saying, Zechariah, you need to be stirred. Zechariah, you need to awake. You need to be illuminated. You need to be shaken and be prepared for this vision to come. You know, I don't know what lies ahead in the day we live in. I do know that we're in the minority. I do know we're at a place where evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. I do know that we're at a place where America has called evil good and good evil. I do know where we celebrate a sinful alternative lifestyles, and we downgrade and we shun a conservative value, Christian values. I don't know where we stand and what lies ahead, but I do know the only way that you and I can be the servant of God, or the only way we can be that faithful child of God, is for God the Holy Spirit to waken us. He wants us to be wakened. Verse number 2. He said unto me, "What seest thou?" And I said, "I have looked, and behold, a candlestick of all gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and with 7 lamps thereon, and 7 pipes to the 7 lamps which are upon the top thereof, and 2 olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side." Verse 2, we see in verse number 1, God the Holy Ghost, God the Spirit, stirs. Number 2, God the Holy Ghost asks him a question. He says, "What seest thou?" Not only does he waken us, not only does he stir us, not only does he rouse us, but now he keeps us focused. He encourages us to stay focused on the right things, to keep focused on the things of God, to view as God views, and to try to see with God's perspective. My prayer is that God would focus this church on the glory of Jesus Christ and his work ahead. Help us to see and help us to hear what thus saith the Spirit unto the churches. I notice here that the Holy Ghost, it'll always focus first on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. The Bible says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. He shall glorify me." As the Spirit speaks, as the Spirit guides, as the Spirit awakens, as he keeps us focused, it'll all be to the glory of Jesus Christ. One orator said, "Those that focus on the Father, they're led to Calvinism. Those that focus just on the Spirit, they're led to be a charismatic. But those that focus on the Son, Jesus, the Son of God, are led to Christianity." You say, how do you know the God, the Holy Ghost, God the Spirit is speaking to me? A good way to know, is it going to exalt Jesus Christ? Will it magnify the Son? Will it uplift our darling Savior? Will it bring those things that exalt Him and magnify Him and uplift Him? That's a good indication the Holy Ghost is speaking to you. He's awakening you. He's keeping you focused. In verse number 4, we see in our text that it says, "So I answered and spake unto the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord?" He asked the question in verse 4, "What are these? What is this bowl? What is this? These olive trees, these olive branches, this golden candlestick." In verse number 11, he asked the question, "What are these?" In verse 12, he asked the question, "What are these?" We find that God awakens us, He stirs us, He keeps us focused, but now He's keeping Zechariah interested in the things of God. Zechariah has a deep understanding and wants to have a deeper knowledge of the Word of God. And we find here that when we're led by God, when we're in the center of God's will, when we're being led by the Spirit, our focus, our interest will be on the things of God. An appetite for the things of God. An appetite for the Word of God. I believe that there's a direct link in a person being Spirit-filled and their love for the Word of God. These questions Zechariah is asking, they're not accusations. They're not questions of doubt. They're not questions of unawareness. They're not questions of confusion, but they're spiritual questions. They're biblical questions. They're God-honoring questions. And he's wanting to know, "God, what meaneth your words? What is this vision?" Listen to John 14, 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, when the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Zechariah, he's hungry for the Word of God. He's hungry for the things of God. He's wanting to know, "God, what does these things mean?" And God gives him the answer. Let me say this, if we have a desire to know God deeper, if we have a desire to draw close to him, he will not let us down. He gives him the answer. Zechariah is being led by God. He's being taught by God. He's being directed by God. He's being awakened by God. He's being instructed by God. And the Spirit is coming through. How much more should you and I, the day we live in, have this same desire to be directed by the Holy Ghost? Let's skip down to verse number 7. The Holy Spirit, he directs. He keeps us focused. He keeps us interested. He awakes. In verse 7, in order to understand verse 7, we must realize these people have just returned from Babylon. They've seen their homeland, their countries, some of their ancestors have perished. They came back to ruin. There's enemies that are surround them. There's no protection. There's no walls. There's no altar. There's no gates of the city. There's doubt in the camp. There's discouragement in the camp. And in verse number 7, he says, "Who art thou, O great mountain?" This word for mountain is the word problems. It's the word hardships, those hard issues of life, those things that we can't seem to move or to do anything about. And he asked the question, "Who art thou, old mountain?" And notice what the Word of God says. "Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain." He's saying that these problems that are so big, the issues of my life that are so great, that power cannot do anything about, that might cannot do anything about, that the armies and the forces can't do anything about, that God, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, will make it a plain, will make it a level place, just as smooth as glass. We find what God, or what we can't do, God can. He says, "Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain." In the sight of the governor, Zerubbabel, he's going to make this mountain, these problems, these issues, these difficulties, that smooth, level place. I want to say tonight, there's nothing too hard for God. They tell me that the Washington Monument is 555 feet tall. At the time it was built in 1884, it was the tallest structure in the world. It's made of marble. It's made of granite. It says it took 36 years to build. It was an engineer, a marvel at the time. They tell me, and I was reading, that the Washington Monument, there was no mortar put into that building. It's all laid, and it's all held together with gravity and friction. 555 feet tall. The headstone of the Washington Monument, there's a cap on that headstone, and it's in Latin. It's Laeus Deo. It means there on the Washington Monument. The tallest structure in Washington, D.C., the tallest structure at the time in 1884, is pointing to God. The headstone reads, "Praise be to God." Zerubbabel is trying to build a temple, facing many problems. He's facing hardships or discouragement in the camp. Notice in our text, in verse number 8-9. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands shall also finish it." Zerubbabel, you're going to start this temple. My spirit's going to lead and guide you. You're going to lay the foundation. It's going to be finished. When the headstone is placed, they'll be shouting, as we read in verse number 9, they'll be shouting and praising and crying in verse number 7, rather, "Grace, grace unto it." The first block that is laid is the cornerstone. We know Jesus Christ, the New Testament tells us that he's the chief cornerstone. The last block, the last building structure, is the headstone. The cornerstone is that which all things rest, that all things lie on, the foundation, the firmness that is planted. That's Jesus Christ. The headstone, that's the most elevated point of the building, the position, the highest, the most decorative point of the building. And we see that this cornerstone, no doubt in the New Testament, is Jesus Christ. The headstone that he speaks of in verse number 7, it says, "He shall bring forth a headstone, therefore with shouting, crying, grace, grace unto it." It's a picture, once again, of the Holy Ghost enabling Zerubbabel, helping Zechariah, encouraging the people to accomplish the work and to glorify Jesus Christ. No temple in verse number 9. No walls. No protection from the enemy. Many problems, many difficulties, discouragement in the camp. And in verse number 9, he speaks that the hands of this governor is going to lay the foundation of the house. His hands also shall finish it. Let me say tonight, the Holy Ghost, no matter what he starts in your life, he will finish it. He started building the body of Christ some 2,000 years ago, and one day it'll be finished. He started forming you into the glory, into the image of Jesus Christ. One day it'll be finished. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, he said, For I know who I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He's executing the plans of Jesus Christ. He's guiding us into God's plans, into God's directions, and he one day will finish it. Philippians 1:6, the Bible says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." He tells Zerubbabel, he started, he's going to finish it. The headstone, they're going to be saying glory or grace, grace. It's going to be a picture of Jesus Christ. What an encouragement to those facing these troubling times in our text. It ought to be encouragement to you and I that God can accomplish that work that he wants to be done in our lives. It should encourage us that we know that no matter what lies ahead, the Holy Ghost can accomplish it. What encouragement this needs to be. What God starts, He finishes it. Let me say about salvation, about redemption, about being regenerated, born again. How do I know I'm saved? How do I know I've been redeemed? How do I know I've been regenerated? I'm a child of God. I believe we can know by the Spirit. You know, we shouldn't base our salvation on what someone else says. We shouldn't base our salvation on an emotional experience in our life. We shouldn't base our redemption on what some preacher or what some evangelist said. We shouldn't base our salvation on being baptized, but we should base our salvation on the witness of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. We find that in verse number 9. He says, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. Here it is. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. He's saying, Zechariah, I'm giving you this vision. Zerubbabel's going to finish the temple. It's going to be to God's glory. And you'll know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's how we know. Galatians 4:6. Because ye are the sons of God, has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That's how we know. 1 John 3:24. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. 1 John 4:13. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us because He hath given us His Spirit. Zechariah knows that this is the Word of God because the Spirit of God is speaking to him. Is the Spirit of God speaking to you? Is the Spirit of God, is it reflecting Jesus Christ, exalting Jesus Christ in your life? Or is the Spirit of God telling you that you're lost? Zerubbabel builds the temple. God the Holy Ghost is guiding. God's directing. He awakens. He stirs. He keeps him focused. He keeps him interested. We find he's making it all possible. But listen, don't have to turn. Listen to Ezra chapter 3, verse 12. Zerubbabel has finished the temple. But in Ezra chapter 3, verse 12, the Bible says, but many of the priests and Levites and the chief of the fathers who were ancient men. That's those older men that saw Solomon's temple, the temple before they went into Babylon. Those men of great age, they saw that beautiful Solomon's temple, had seen the first house. When the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, they wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. Zerubbabel is doing what God tells him to do. In all the obstacles he faces, he finishes the temple. And those men of old, the ancient men that seen Solomon's temple, they saw it. They started crying. They looked down upon it. They saw it, that the size, the beauty, the array is not of what Solomon's temple once was. They cried with a loud voice. It's insignificant. It's small. It's less than. It's not as good as. Verse 10 in our text, we find, for who hath despised the day of small things? Zechariah is writing. He's saying, don't despise the temple because it's smaller, because it's not as beauty. It's not as arrayed as Solomon's temple. Let me put it this way. We don't need to look down on a church that's not as big as other churches. We don't need to look down on a preacher that doesn't preach to larger crowds as some preachers do. We don't need to look down on a congregation of 50 when some churches have congregations of 1,000. The Holy Ghost is not interested in the masses, but he's interested in someone. We find it in a text. Yes, this temple's smaller. It's not as beautiful as Solomon's temple, but it was God's plan. Verse number 10, he said, "For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth." We already talked about the cornerstone, that foundation, Jesus Christ. We talked about the headstone, the most exalted place. That's Jesus Christ. Now it speaks of this plummet in the temple. It means rock or it means stone. He's saying that there's a stone in this temple, even though it's not as big, even though it's not as beautiful, even though it's not as large as Solomon's temple, but this one stone, it has seven eyes. And these seven eyes are going to and from the earth. They're all seeing. They're all knowing. There's someone that dwells in this temple. And that one's Jesus Christ. Little as much when God is in it. The size of the church, the size of the congregation, the dynamics of the preacher should not impress us or should cause us to despise or to think less of it. But we should look as Zerubbabel, as Zechariah did, for the presence of the Lord. That's my desire. I want this church, when this time, this place, the difficulties that we're living in are surpassed and things are opening and operating as normal, my desire is this church to be busting at the seams of young people and middle-aged people and elder people alike. But I truly hope, my true desire, my yearning is God, the Holy Ghost, God the Son, and God the Father dwells here. How are you going to be awakened? Not by might, nor by power, but by spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. How are we going to stay focused? Not by might, nor by power, but my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. How are we going to stay interested in the things of God and keep on marching to the things of God? Not by might, nor by power, but my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. How are we going to finish and accomplish that work that God's laid out before us? Not by might, nor by power, but my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. How are we going to witness to the lost? And how are we going to see and share the gospel to a lost and dying world? Not by might, nor by power, but my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. How are we going to build the house of God and grow for his honor and glory? Not by might, nor by power, but my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts, Jesus Christ. God the Holy Spirit was directing Zerubbabel, was encouraging Zechariah for his glory. And it wasn't going to be done by this world's ways. It wasn't going to be done by the world's might, by their power, by their forces, by the armies, by their ability, by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. We thank you tonight, Father, for this chapter that speaks to us about the Spirit of God. We thank you, Father, that even though we can't accomplish a lot, the congregation, the sizes of the church may be small compared to some others. I'm thankful that Jesus, our darling Savior, is in our midst. Father, I'm glad that you direct, and I'm glad you still come by, and I'm glad, Father, you still speak. Lord, I'm glad I'm still led by the Holy Ghost, and I pray, Father, that you'd do the same for us as they did Zechariah. You'd shake him, you'd stir us, you'd awaken us, and you'd help us in these difficult days, these difficult times we live in. Father, for the Son of God's glory, Jesus Christ, our Savior's honor, we ask these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll all stand tonight, Brother Randy. You have a song.